أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. الحمد لله، by Allah's fadl, we have reached this Mubarak 25th night of Ramadan. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا، اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا، اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. I'm recording tonight's majlis from Cleveland, from the No Man Learning Center, under the able leadership of Sheikh Musa Suvapong, as well as a number of other local people of knowledge, as well as Hufadh. It is a hif school and a maktab and a place of teaching and learning for people, everyone from new Muslims to intermediate and more advanced students of knowledge. And alhamdulillah, we just had the barakah of reading the Khatam of the Quran, which fits in well with the topic of last night's discussion, which was the campaign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the companions radiallahu anhum to take Iraq and the Persian lands, and his advice regarding what it is that will give victory to the believers, and his immortal advice that he gave, which is that our numbers are not equivalent to theirs, nor are our resources. If we equal them in disobedience to Allah, they will be stronger than us. If not, we will be helped through our virtue and not through our strength. So the recitation of the Quran, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and from all of the congregations who are reading in the Salatul Taraweeh, and by day and by night in this blessed month and in these blessed 10 nights. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give help to the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. So Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was appointed leader, and we mentioned the names of the different commanders of the different flanks and the different functionaries in the army that were all set by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we also mentioned yesterday about the internal strife within the Persian ranks that was put aside in order to fight the Muslims and to protect the empire of the Persians. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu then descended to Qadisiyah, a village near Kufa, where the pilgrims of Kufa would stop over on their journey to Makkah Mukarramah. And Atiq, one of the tributaries of the Euphrates in line with Qantara, a village which has a bridge over one of the tributaries of the Furat, and is then therefore known by the name Qantara, which means a bridge. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote to Sa'ad saying, "If any of you insincerely offers peace to any of the non-Arabs by openly proposing it, or by making any kind of sign or verbal statement which is considered as such by them, then you should treat them as if you have given peace and this offer has been fulfilled. A mistaken promise that is kept will ensure survival, but a mistaken act of treachery will bring destruction. This will make you weak and your enemies strong." So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in war still, as long as people are, al-harbu khida'a means what? That war is deception means what? As long as people are hostile toward you, then you're allowed to use deception in order to fight your enemies. In order to what? Not because deception is a good thing, but because you want to end the hostilities as soon as possible. You want to end the violence as quickly as possible. Once they offer peace and they show that they want to relent from hostility, you're not allowed to lie to them and give them fake offers of peace. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made sure to make it clear to the commanders that even if you said something heedlessly, if they accept it, then don't take it back. Rather, keep your promises, even if the promises are made by mistake, and avoid treachery at all costs, because there's no point in ever making peace with a treacherous person. That's a lesson for us as well. But also, if you are fighting a war against people have enough common sense to know there's never any benefit in making peace with a treacherous person, because doing that just delays your destruction even more and gives away your chance to oppose them and to fight them while you still have the chance. So no one in their right mind would ever make peace with a treacherous person. And we want to facilitate people making peace with us. We want to make it easy for people to be friends with us. We don't want to make it difficult or onerous. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu remained in Qadisiyah for 1 month without any news of the Persians. So he had sent squadrons between Kaskar and Ambar, They attacked those with whom no peace agreement had been agreed to, and those who had broken the compact of peace that they had made from before. The people of the rural areas sent a message to Yazdegerd, the newly crowned Persian emperor, informing him of what the Muslims had done, and said to him that if he did not send anyone to defend them, they would surrender. So they were subjects of the Persian throne, but the Muslims were overwhelming them. So they sent a message to their king that, hey, look, you know, if you want to hold on to this area, you need to send us help. Otherwise, we can't hold out against them. We're going to make peace rather than waiting for them to destroy us. Yazdegerd sent a message to his commander Rustam, ordering him to prepare to command a huge army to fight the Muslims. He obeyed the orders, departing and encamping at the place called Sabat. He only did so under compulsion, however, for he was actually of the opinion that they should come to terms with the Muslims and not fight them until they become weak. The news of Sa'd, who conveyed it to Umar, the news reached Sa'd, Afwan, who conveyed it to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar replied, saying, "Do not let the news you receive worry you. Seek assistance from Allah and place your trust in Him. Send articulate people who possess intelligence and courage to call him to Islam. Allah will make this invitation to Islam a cause of abasement for them if they don't accept it." Give them a chance. Again, the Muslims are not fighting for the sake of fighting. They're not fighting to take stuff away from people. When the Muslims would send their armies out, if they accepted Islam, everyone keeps their stuff, everyone keeps their positions, no one takes anything from them. This only has to do with the right of Allah Ta'ala that he should be worshipped alone and without any partner. Nowadays, you know, like for example, say, oh, we're going to spread democracy to the world. Okay, well, people take democracy, but we also like take their oil and their stuff. That's not democracy spreading, that's taking stuff. Whereas the companions of the Allah on whom they had no interest in this, in people's stuff. It's also interesting to note that this little snippet that was mentioned about the Persian commander Rustam being ordered to prepare a huge army, and he said, "Why fight them right now? They're at their full power. Why not just wait and make peace with them right now and wait till they're weak and then we can like fight them later?" The Persians have an imperial tradition that goes back, you know, thousands of years. And really, Persia was the first empire in the world in the true sense. The Egyptians were not an empire because they, even though they had a very powerful state, they would go do battle in other countries, but they would come home. They had no interest in occupying foreign lands. The Persians, however, truly had a multi-ethnic, multi-religious empire in which they governed large swaths of land. They did public works projects, intellectual projects. They advanced a lot of the things that we attribute to Greeks, like logic and math, trigonometry. These things were actually figured out by the Persians far before they were figured out by the Greeks. But the, you know, Europeans have this issue that they kind of forget other people exist in the world from time to time. But the Persians are so good at running countries, at running states. This is even when they become Muslims, they provide all of the middle level bureaucracy to run armies and states in all of the Muslim empires of really of history, with the exception of maybe Spain. And so the Ottoman Empire, the Umayyad Empire, the Abbasid Empire, the mid-level bureaucracy that runs a state, it's almost all Persian speakers. And in fact, many of the records are even kept in Persian, even during the reign of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Because these people know what they're doing, they're talented. It's not like an easier pushover enemy, which makes the conquest of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum all the more impressive. Yazdegerd is invited to Islam. Sa'd sent a group of notables to call Yazdegerd, the Persian emperor, to Islam, which include Nu'man bin Muqarrin, Qais bin Zurara, Ash'ath bin Qais, Furat bin Hayyan, Asim bin Amr, Amr ibn Ma'di Karab, and Mughirat ibn Shu'ba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. When they reached Mada'in, the Persian imperial capital, they were taken to Yazdegerd. He asked them through an interpreter, "What drove you to attack us and enter our country? Is it because we were occupied with our own affairs and you had the courage to attack?" Nu'man ibn Muqarrin spoke on behalf of the group. He said, "Allah Ta'ala showed us mercy and sent a messenger to us who enjoined us to do good and prohibited us from evil, promising that if we responded positively to his call, we would enjoy the best of this world and the hereafter. From every tribe, a group joined him and another group shunned him. He then ordered that we commence with the Arabs that had opposed him, and they joined him either under compulsion and were subsequently delighted by him, or willingly, and thus only grew happier and happier with him. Thus we all recognized the superiority of his message over the enmity and constriction which we had been living in before. He had then ordered us to go to our neighboring nations in order to invite them to justice. Thus we invite you to our religion as well. It is a religion which extols good and condemns evil. If you refuse, you may choose the lesser of two evils, the jizya. But if you refuse this too, we will wage war against you. If you accept our religion, we will leave the book of Allah amongst you, and we will remain with you until you rule by its injunctions. Then we will leave you, and you can see to the affairs of your own country. If you pay the jizya, we will accept it from you and we will protect you. And if not, we will fight you. Yazdegerd responded, I do not know of any nation that was as wretched, disunited, and small in numbers as yours. He was saying this to the Arabs. We used to charge the villages on our borders to deal with you. You could never have hoped to stand up to the Persians. If it is delusion that has brought you here, then don't ever be deluded by us. If it is hardship that has forced you to come here, we will give you enough food until you get back to prosperity again. We will honor you, feed you, appoint someone over you who will be kind to you, and you will be prosperous. So he's like, here, why don't you just take some money and go home? You broke a bunch of Arabs. Which is, interestingly enough, how they deal with the Arabs to this day. The difference is what? Back in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had dignity and they had honor. In the time of Jahiliyyah and nowadays, they don't. So they're like, oh, thanks, food? Mm. And they just go home again. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to follow those who Allah Ta'ala honored. Qais bin Zurara at this point stood up and said, as for our terrible condition which you mentioned, it was as if you said, if not worse. He then spoke about the life of the Arab and Allah's mercy on them by sending them the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. He made a similar statement to that one made by An-Nu'man and said, either you accept in your lowly state to pay jizya or you face the sword. Otherwise, save yourself by embracing Islam. Yazdegerd responded to Qais, were it not for the fact that envoys are not killed, I would have put you to death for saying this. You will get nothing from me. He then called for a load of earth to be brought and said to his people, place it on the most honorable of them and drive them out until they leave the gate of Mada'in. Asim bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and said, I am the most honorable, and took the earth himself, went to his horse and mounted it. When he reached Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he said, glad tidings by Allah, Allah has given us the keys to his kingdom. Meaning what? We gave them a chance. It's not like we proved to ourselves and to Allah Ta'ala that we're not fighting them for any personal gain, nor are we fighting them for any material gain. We gave them a chance, and they're the ones who turned their back on Allah Ta'ala, and they knew that when a person turns their back on Allah Ta'ala, this is a sign of their weakness, and it's a sign of their fall. Rustam then departed from Sabat with his awesome army, which numbered over 100,000, which is a lot. When he passed Kutha, a village between Mada'in and Babil, an Arab met him. Rustam said to him, why have you come here? What do you want from us? He replied, we have come to realize Allah's promise of taking over your country and your children if you refuse to embrace Islam. Rustam asked, what if you are killed before you realize this? He replied, whoever of us is killed shall enter paradise, and Allah will fulfill his promise for those who survive. We have full conviction in this. Rustam said, we have been lowered and placed in your hands. Have we been lowered and placed in your hands? The Arab said, your evil deeds lowered you and Allah made you subdued because of them. You should not be deceived by what you see around you, i.e. the large numbers of your army. You are not fighting men, rather you are fighting fate. Rustam was angered and murdered him for saying this. When he passed with his army through Burs, a village between Kufa and Hila, his soldiers captured the children and stole their possession, drank wine and raped the women. The people of Burs complained to Rustam, who said to his people, by Allah, that Arab was right. By Allah, it is our deeds that have subjected us. By Allah, the Arabs and these people who sided with the Arabs are displaying better character than you. He then proceeded until he came to Hira, and he reprimanded his seniors for submitting to the Muslims. Ibn Buqayla said to him, you cannot show weakness in helping us and at the same time reprimand us for saving ourselves. When Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the commander of the Muslim army, heard about Rustam, he sent Amr bin Ma'di Karab al-Zabidi and Tulayha bin Khuwaylid al-Asadi. So Amr bin Ma'di Karab is, and Tulayha are Yemenis. Both of them are Yemenis. Amr bin Ma'di Karab is a Yemen, and Tulayha is actually someone who claimed he was a Nabi after the Prophet ﷺ died. But he made Tawbah and he made good on his Tawbah. He repented from trying to run that scam. He says, I was wrong. And he participated actively in the conquest of Iraq. So he sent both of them with 10 other men to gather information about the Persian army as scouts. They traveled only a short distance when they spotted the camels of the enemy pasturing on elevated lands. They then returned, except for Tulayha, who continued until he had actually penetrated the enemy army and learned what he had to learn before returning to Sa'd and informing him of all that he saw. The Battle of Qadisiyah. Discussions with Rustam. Rustam advanced with his army from Hira until he descended into Qadisiyah via the bridge in Atiq. He positioned his army directly before the Muslim camp, coming between them and the river. The Persians had 33 elephants. Now imagine that these people had only heard about the field in Alam Tara Kayfa Fa'ala Rabbuka bi Ashabil Field that we heard. Now they're actually seeing them deployed against them in battle, and it's very scary. The enemy had 33 elephants. Upon arriving, he had sent a message to Sa'd radiallahu anhu to send a person who could speak to Sa'd. He sent Rib'i ibn Amir to him. Rib'i came to him while Rustam was seated on a bed of gold, having laid out carpets and cushions woven with gold. Rib'i approached on with his horse, his sword wrapped in a rag, and his spear attached by a cloth. Meaning, so the emissary of the Muslims is completely broke, but he's ready for war. Whereas the general of the Persians is in complete luxury. When he reached the carpet, he walked onto it with his horse, meaning showing he doesn't have any respect for the carpet. Then dismounted and tied it to two cushions by splitting them in two and placing a rope between them. Meaning, you know, he wasn't impressed by the furniture. He then took the woolen wrap of his camel and wrapped himself with it. The guards asked him to remove his weapons, but he said, had I come to you of my own accord, I would have done so on your order. However, you called me, and I will not remove them. He moved forward, leaning on his spear, taking small steps, tearing the carpet as he walked along. He went right up close to Rustam, the enemy commander, and sat on the ground, staking his spear in the carpet, saying, we do not sit on your fancy seats. Rustam asked, why have you come here? He replied, Allah brought us here. He sent us in order to remove those who wish to be removed from the worship of slaves to the worship of Allah, from the restriction and constriction of this world to the wide expanse of the hereafter, from the injustice of the ways of other ways of life to the justice of Islam. Allah sent his messenger with his deen to his creation. Whoever embraces it, we shall accept it from him, return and leave him to his land. Whoever refuses, we shall fight him until we achieve paradise or victory. Rustam said, I have heard what you have said. Are you prepared to wait a while for us to come to a decision? He replied, yes. From amongst the directives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we should not give respite to the enemy of more than 3 days. So we will hold off for 3 days. You decide on what you want to do from the following three options at the end of the period. Either embrace Islam and we will leave you and your land. Pay jizya and we will accept it from you and protect your land and help you when you're in need. Or the third option is war, on the fourth day, unless you attack us before that. I guarantee this on behalf of my companions. Rustam asked, are you their leader? He replied, no. However, the Muslims are like a single body. The lowest of them can grant safety on behalf of the highest of them. He then turned around and departed. I want you to appreciate a couple of things. One is mashallah, complete alpha. Not impressed and not afraid of any of them. And part of that is not being wowed by their dunya. You all can do this. You may not walk up to the Persian emperor and rip his carpet or whatever. But don't walk into, especially impious people, people who don't take their deen seriously, especially people who don't care about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadly, there are many Muslims that are Muslims. We don't say that they're not Muslims, but they completely lost the plot. Or a non-Muslim, don't walk into the White House or don't walk into the palace of a king or a prince or to the to the hotel or to the, you know, fancy mansion of a rich person and be overwhelmed by stuff. Like, oh, look how the carpet is. That's not alpha. That's being a simp. Don't simp over people's dunya. Unless that's what you want to be. Don't be impressed with people's dunya. You know what you should be impressed with? You should be impressed with people's character. You should be impressed with people's righteousness, by their piety, by their good deeds. Don't simp for people's stuff. It's not worthwhile. Can you imagine if you walked in and be like, wow, this is a nice carpet. How long did it take you to make? Don't be like that. He turned and departed. Rustam conferred in privacy with his aides. He said to them, did you ever hear a speech like this? They responded by expressing disdain for the Muslim representative. But Rustam rather exclaimed, woe unto you. I'm looking at his intelligence, speech, and character. The Arabs do not bother about clothing, but they are very particular about noble descent. Meaning that this is only someone who has some quality inside of him could have done what he just did. On the second day after making camp at Qadisiyah, Rustam sent a message to Sa'ad saying, send this man to us. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent Hudhayfa ibn Mihsan al-Ghatafani. Hudhayfa's actions in conversation with Rustam were no different than those of Rib'i. And this is nothing to be surprised about, since they were both given to drink from the same source, which is the religion of Islam. Rustam said to Hudhayfa, why did the first one, Rib'i, not come to us? He replied, our commander deals equally with all of us in all matters, and now it is my turn. Rustam inquired, when does the agreed upon period end? Hudhayfa responded, after 3 days, starting yesterday. On the third day, Rustam sent a message to Sa'd, asking him to send a man to him. So he sent Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who went to him, and when he was before him, he sat with him on his couch. Meaning what? He didn't show that he is a superior, but he treated him like an equal. Rustam's aides advanced toward Mughira, pulling him away, and he said to them, we thought you to be intelligent people, but now I see that you're the most foolish. We Arabs do not enslave one another unless we are fighting one another. I had thought that you cared for your own people like we care for our own people. The best thing you have done is for me is to show me that some of you are lords over others, and this state of affairs will not continue amongst your people. Meaning what? He said, look, you didn't treat me like an equal, and now you're showing me that like you treat your own people like garbage as well. You think you're better than them? That's going to make it very easy for us to be victorious over you. I did not come of my own choice, but you invited me here today. And today I have realized that because of all of this, you are going to be defeated, vanquished, and that a kingdom cannot exist with such ways and such thinking. The subject said by Allah, the Arab is correct. And those representing the farmers said, he has said something which our slaves have always expressed. May Allah destroy our leaders who has belittled this nation, the nation of Arab. Rustam then delivered a speech aggrandizing the Persian and deriding the Arab, mentioning the terrible condition and worthless livelihood that the Arabs had to suffer with. Mughira radiallahu anhu said, as for the terrible condition, poverty, and disagreement which you describe, we acknowledge all of that and do not deny it. But the world is a place of ups and downs, and adversity is followed by prosperity. If you were to be grateful for what Allah has given you, your gratitude would not suffice for all that you receive. Your lack of gratitude has now brought you a change of fortune. Allah has sent a messenger to us, ... And then he recounted a speech similar to what Rib'i had given 2 days before. He ended by giving them the option of embracing Islam, paying jizya, or going to war, and then he returned to the Muslim camp. Inshallah, we leave off here, inshallah, and then we continue the prelude to the Battle of Qadisiyah, inshallah, tomorrow. Obviously, I'm not going to be here in Cleveland tomorrow, but you can all catch it on the soundcloud.com/hmakbul, M-A-Q-B-U-L, if you wish. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala, fill our hearts with the love of those who He loved. You don't have to conquer Persia this week. The step one is what? Those people that Allah Ta'ala loved, you fill your heart with their love. And those deeds that Allah loved, you fill your heart with their love. And then when your heart is filled, you'll see all those deeds, they spill out from your heart into your hands and into your limbs as well. No need to be hasty, inshallah, it will happen. For right now, just look and be careful what you fill your heart with. Don't fill it with garbage and with weakness and with cowardice. Rather, fill it with strength and the remembrance of the courage and nobility of those who came before us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.